Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Monday, September 19th. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and the Dodgers are finally back home after a long road trip. They just swept the Giants over the weekend. They were 5-1 last week. They clinched a playoff spot. They clinched a division. They won their 100th game and their 101st. They set a record for most road wins by a Dodger team in a season. And they were 7-2 on the road trip, and now they have a heavy home schedule the rest of the way. So let's talk about how the weekend ended for the Dodgers. Sunday's game, it seemed to take forever to end. It was a Sunday night game. 4 o'clock local start. Didn't end till like 8:40-ish. There was a 20-minute rain delay in there, which added to that. But it was just kind of a long sort of slog. The weather looked bad, ominous most of the night. Crazy winds. They kept showing graphics of like upwards of 21 miles an hour, and or how the ball was the wind was affecting potential fly balls. It was like over 20 feet in certain areas, depending on the play. The first play of the game, I think Mookie Betts hit a fly ball that Heliot Ramos sort of started back, and then the ball blew in, I think, 50-something feet, and it landed for a double. But, like, it wasn't on Ramos at all. It was just, like, just a crazy wind play. He actually made two really good catches, like, later in the game, so he clearly adjusted. He's really good out there, but what a wild night. The Giants had two potential home runs, I think, at least, that I can remember, blown in by the wind. Jock Peterson almost hit a three-run walk-off in the 10th, which would have been fun. Remember last year in Wrigley Field, he also almost did that for the Cubs. I believe that was that the nightcap of the doubleheader? But then the wind knocked it down. He ended up getting a sack fly out of it, and I think the Cubs ended up winning that game anyway. But a lot of near misses for Jock since leaving the Dodgers, against the Dodgers. Almost had a walk-off twice. But the Dodgers in this one used 7 of their 8 active relievers, everyone but Chris Martin, who pitched an inning and a third on Saturday. So they had Andre Jackson, who was up because... Or I guess they have 9 relievers available now that I think about it, because Tyler Anderson went on the paternity list. He had he and his wife had a boy. They have 2 daughters already, so he's going to be back early this week. But Andre Jackson was back up, and he pitched in. It was only his second game in the majors this year. He was brought in to protect a 4-2 lead in the 10th. Now, if you were listening to the ESPN broadcast a lot, I think Eduardo Perez mentioned this a lot, especially in the 8th when they went to Alex Vesia and they just sort of kept him in even after the wildness, and like they weren't like bringing in a righty or say Kimbrel for 4 outs. Like, I think to a certain point, like they're not pushing guys right now, right? They're not going to in a playoff situation, depending on who's available, right? Like that would be a point where, say a Dustin May comes in if he's sort of in that relief role, or you might use Kimbrel for 4 outs, or maybe it's Chris Martin on a back-to-back, or it certainly would be Chris Martin on a back-to-back, something like that. But the game clearly was not managed that way, you know, at least by Dave Roberts. It was more getting these guys some work in. They took Heaney out after 4 innings. He was affected by the rain delay. He pitched really well, actually. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But they did have to cover a lot of innings. They had Andre Jackson in there to save the game. It was just like, if we win this game, cool. Like, right? That's what it was. In the 10th, so he's brought in to protect a 4-2 lead, walked the first guy on 4 pitches, nearly gave up the walk-off to Jock Peterson, ended up getting pulled up 4-3 with 2 outs. It was Justin Brule, left-hander. against Lamont Wade Jr., a left-hander, and Wade Jr. Almost hit a walk-off grand slam down the right field line. That didn't look wind-aided, but it was just foul, like barely foul. He crushed that ball. So the Dodgers were like basically living on borrowed time at this point. And then the next pitch, he grounded out, and the Dodgers won. So they have 101 wins right now. There are still 17 games left in this season, which is ridiculous. They are almost certainly going to break the franchise record for wins, which is 106, which they did in their last two regular season or full seasons. So what a ridiculous run this is. We'll talk more about that later, I'm sure. More importantly, they basically, when they got to 100 wins on Saturday, that was their 144th game. It's the fastest in franchise history. The 1899 team and the 1953 team took 147 games to get their 100th win. And in MLB history, like since integration, there's only been five teams to win 100 games in their first 144. So besides the Dodgers, you have Cleveland in both 1954 and 1995. The 95 season was strike shortened, so it only lasted 144 games, and that was Cleveland's final record, 144. And then the 98 Yankees on their way to 114 wins, and the 2001 Mariners on their way to 116 wins. So it's a lot of wins and in a short amount of time. The road record, the Dodgers after the 7-2 road trip are 52-26 on the road this season. To put that in perspective, there's only two other MLB teams that have better home records than the Dodgers have road records. The Yankees at 50-22 and the Astros at 50-23. The Braves at 50-25 actually have the same winning percentage as the Dodgers, so they're right there. But that shows you how great they've been on the road. 52 road wins is the most in Dodgers history. It's just the third Dodgers team to win 50 road games in a season. The 1952 team went 51-24. Now, their .680 winning percentage is still the best, and even if the Dodgers win their last three games on the road, then they're not going to beat that. But they're going to have the most wins. And then 1974 team also, they went 50-31 on the road. But the flip side of all that is because all those road wins and all those road games, the Dodgers now have 14 of their last 17 games at home. Their only road series is September 27th to the 29th in San Diego. The Dodgers' magic number to clinch a bye in past the wild card round is just one. And the NLDS doesn't start until October 11th. So the first two games of that series are going to be at Dodger Stadium. So we're basically talking about 21 of the next 24 nights of the Dodgers sleeping in their own bed, which is, I think, an underrated thing. And it's going to allow them to sort of set things up the way they want. But we'll talk a little bit more about what the Dodgers actually still have to set up and sort out while in Los Angeles after the break. It looks like some injured pitchers for the Dodgers might be back this week. Bruiser Gratterall and Blake Treinen are expected to throw in some fashion on Monday at Dodger Stadium. Both of them could be activated this week. Treinen's earliest possible activation is Thursday, so not sure if like Gratterall would be ready before that. It's hard to say that the Dodgers do have a doubleheader on Tuesday against the Diamondbacks, so at a five-game series, so who knows, maybe there might be some maneuverings going on this week. Yency Almonte starts a rehab assignment with Oklahoma City on Tuesday for at least two games, so figure he's in that maybe next week category for returning potentially. David Price might also be ready by next week, but he's still to be determined. Also to be determined, in Bob Nightingale's notes column Sunday, he said Price told him he would retire at the end of the 2022 season. I believe Nightingale was in Arizona when the Dodgers were there last week and when they clinched. And Nightingale quoted Price as saying, "It's just time. Everything on my body hurts." So naturally, when that came out Sunday morning, and on Sunday afternoon at the ballpark, the reporters in San Francisco asked Price about it, and he said he hasn't made up his mind yet regarding retirement. So this does feel similar to June in an interview with Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register. Plunkett asked Price if 2022 was his last year. Price, I believe the way Plunkett described it, I don't have it in front of me right now, but Plunkett said yes, or Price said yes, like while chuckling a little bit. But he also hedged, and he said, I mean, yes and no. This is a quote from the article that I did write down. I mean, yes and no. My kids love it so much. That's the only thing that makes me even think about playing any longer. So I think it's pretty clearly retirement is on David Price's mind, but I think it's either he doesn't want to announce it yet, or he literally just take him at his word and he hasn't made up his mind yet. But it's clearly something to consider, whenever that decision is going to happen. Another thing that's becoming more and more clear is that Tony Gonsolin is not going to be used as a traditional starting pitcher this season. Gonsolin is also supposed to throw a bullpen session Monday. He's been sort of, throwing bullpens here and there, but not progressing like super fast. So he's basically running out of time to get stretched out. He last pitched on August 23rd. So there's, like I said, there's really no time. A quote from Dave Roberts on Saturday telling reporters in San Francisco to quote, to expect him to be built up like he was before he went down is very unrealistic. So then the point is when we get down the road to see what we have. So I think what this is going to boil down to is the playoff rotation is essentially Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw sort of locked in for games 1 and 2 whenever they can manage that and then figure out the rest after that. I think Tyler Anderson has certainly pitched well enough to earn, postseason starts, but, he's not going to get like the same leash that Urias and Kershaw might. And then Andrew Heaney has the best strikeout rate on the staff, but he was also giving up a bunch of home runs. His last two starts have looked much better after that homer fest. He on Sunday, working around the rain, did strike out 8 in 4 scoreless innings. He also, so he's been reasonably like good at times, but also home run heavy. So it's just something to watch, but maybe someone who they might use in, say, 3 or 4 innings at a time rather than 5 or 6. So the same thing sort of goes for Dustin May. He's still sort of a wild card. He looked great on Friday when he against the Giants. He pitched 5 hitless innings. He was also pulled after those 5 innings because he was on a pitch count, because in between starts he reported soreness. So I don't think they're ready to sort of push him really deep. So I think perhaps for this year, maybe – and again, we won't really know until October, but maybe the best thing for him is going to be those short burst type outings again, where it's 2 or 3 innings or something like that. Maybe a little longer because they, who knows, but it's going to depend on how he feels. But I don't see him as someone who's going to pitch deep into games. And then throw Gonsolin into that mix and you're basically sort of covering the innings in a non-Kershaw-Urias start. And then just sort of seeing what they have. But that is going to be one of the interesting things this offseason. The one thing that sort of does, I guess, if you can piggyback some of those pitchers together, like earlier this season when Tyler Anderson didn't start in the rotation to start the year, his first 2 outings were piggybacking off Tony Gonsolin. So you have a righty and a lefty. You could do the same with Andrew Heaney and Dustin May, a righty and a lefty. So if that's what they want to do. But, like, again, they have – we'll see how things go. But this is going to be one of those fascinating questions that are going to come up in the next 3 weeks. There is still 2.5 weeks left in the season. Like I mentioned before, the Diamondbacks are in town, the Dodger Stadium, 5 games, Tuesday doubleheader. This was part of the lockout canceling the first week of the season. They rescheduled those games. The Diamondbacks series got sort of spread throughout the season, while the 3 games against the Rockies just got tacked on at the end. But since the Dodgers were already ending against the Rockies, they end the season on a weird 6-game series against the Rockies. But yeah, what a weird schedule to end the year. But that's where we're at. The Dodgers just swept the Giants. I don't think I mentioned this at the top The Dodgers won 15 out of 19 against the Giants this year. That's their most wins ever against the Giants in a season. It's the second highest winning percentage against the Giants in a season, 789. The only one higher is 833, 10-2 by the Brooklyn Superbas in 1899. So literally two centuries ago. So yeah, the Dodgers had a good week. They had a good weekend. They swept the Giants, and that's our podcast for today. Get ready for a lot of home games coming up. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks.